and welcome to Connecting the Dots. I'm Nicholas Mark Shea, and we are here today on this fine day, just about Pentecost. It's another glorious day. And today, normally on Thursdays, we have Christine Franklin as my co-host, but she is having surgery today. She's fine. She messed up her shoulder somehow, so she's been eagerly looking forward to the surgery so that it would help her messed up shoulder to get better. So I would like to ask you guys out there to please pray for Chris Franklin that she gets. I can certainly hear you, Ethan. And today I decided to do something special. I've got a friend of mine I got to know a couple of years ago now, a fellow named Don Johnson. Not the guy on Miami Vice. People always ask me if it's that Don Johnson. No, it's not. Don Johnson is a filmmaker, and he's just released a very interesting film. I got to see it in the theater a week or so ago. I'm called Convinced. And it is a bunch of interviews with a whole bunch of different converts to the faith, including yours truly. And so I thought it'd be fun to meet Don today and talk to him a little bit about his career, his work as an evangelist through film, and to talk a little bit about Convinced. So, Don, welcome to the show.
Mark, thank you so much. Fantastic to be here.
Yeah, so happy to help you. I want to promote the work that you're doing because I think it's good work. Where are you from? Where do you live?
I'm based in Southern California right now. Actually grew up in Canada, spent some time in the Bay Area, spent some time in the beautiful Northwest up in your country, but been here for about 15 years now.
Cool. Where in Canada?
Alberta and Saskatchewan, up near the big fires, actually, not too far from here.
So out there in the Rocky Mountain Plains area.
That's right.
My mother was Canadian, so I have nothing but happy associations with Canada, because Canada was always like the magical vacation land place where we went when I was a little kid. And so it's like totally associated with no school, and you get to go goof around, and you swim in the lake, and you have a wonderful time, and so
it's a great place to visit.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Canada.
Yeah,
but so you're living in California now. Now, I'm not even clear. Are you yourself a convert?
I am. In fact, I just came into the church 1 year ago this past Easter Vigil. So I just celebrated my 1 year anniversary. So actually, as I was making the movie, I was not yet Catholic.
And it was, I did not know that.
Part of my adventure, yeah. I mean, you know, I think the trajectory was pretty clear by that point, but at the same time, it sort of confirmed for me that, no, I wasn't crazy. You know, there's people like Mark Shea out there that have been down this road before, and we can
do it.
Well,
appealing to me as the gold standard for not crazy is probably not a good idea. that makes it. I did not know that when we did the interviews. What? It was like 3 years ago now? 2 years?
Probably about two. Yeah, two summers ago was my main shooting time. So we were all over the place. Yeah, we were really the four corners of the country. My director of photography and myself sort of put some cameras on.
Yeah, you were everywhere.
Yeah. And so shot it over two summers. Yeah, two summers ago. Finished it up sort of about Christmas time, two Christmases ago. And then, you know, a lot of post-production. And, you saw it in the theaters last week. So we're still sort of rolling it out. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I see, when we did the interview, I assumed you were Catholic. I didn't know. And
it was really part of my motivation, actually, Mark, because you know, I don't know if you, I mean, you probably picked this up, but one of the, you know, criteria I had for asking people to be in the film is that they had to deal with a lot of perhaps family conflict or career conflict, or, you know, it was costing them a little something to do this. And as I was exploring the church, it was causing some chaos. And I was a professional, if you will, evangelist, a Protestant evangelist. And so I was living off of the donations of my fellow evangelicals, knowing that the second that I come out and say, you know what, I'm heading over the Tiber, that was going to be gone. And
yeah, so we're going to dry up.
Yeah, what? I really wanted to have a story that shared that sort of struggle.
Oh, fantastic. Well, you know, we've talked about on the show from time to time, me and my co-hosts over the time, because one of the things that I've run into repeatedly as a convert is amazingly ideas of why people convert.
Right.
And so, you know, I have an entire history that people have told to me. Which is like no bearing on reality at all.
All of your parent issues and your psychological problems.
I've had people write me and inform me that I was a Protestant pastor who, having no worlds left to conquer within Protestantism,
right,
and burning with jealousy because Glenn Beck's television program ratings were higher than mine. All of this is news to me, right? Including that I had a television show.
Yeah.
And anyway, burning with envy, I decided to become Catholic for two reasons. First, of course, for the money.
Always for the money. Mark.
Man, does it pay. You know?
Yeah.
Converting to the Catholic Church is just, it's a Scrooge McDuck swimming pool.
It's a gold.
Full of gold coins.
Yeah.
And so there's that. But also, one of the major reasons was, in order to bend the Catholic Church to my will, using my personal charisma and awesome wealth.
Yes.
I have now set about the task of perverting and corrupting the faith by turning it into my image and likeness. And it's just like, oh, okay, I did not know that. Thank you. You know,
there's, yeah, those are good ones. I mean, yeah, I've definitely heard my share of the theories. I love the money one. I mean, it's always about the money. And you're like, yeah, that's exactly why.
yeah. So it's hilarious because, you know, you see the story. You know, I know Jason Stellman, who you featured in the film.
Yes, right.
He lives not far from me. That is a man, and he's not the only one in that film who has paid an enormous personal cost.
Yeah.
For converting, and lots of people have. You know, it's lonely. I was blessed because I had friends. Some of my listeners are probably familiar with, and some of your viewers are probably familiar with Sherry Waddell. She's the founder of the Catherine of Siena Institute, is the author of a hugely important book called Forming Intentional Disciples. Well, she lived here. She's the godmother of our oldest son. We're old friends. We go way back. And our conversion happened at the same time. And there were other people in that circle as well who were exploring all that. But I consider myself greatly blessed because of that. You know, I look at somebody like Scott Hahn, and his conversion was really lonely.
Yeah.
He figured he was just biting the bullet.
One. Yeah, definitely. You're alienating all these friends, family, coworkers, and they just cannot possibly fathom why you would do this.
What happened to you?
Yeah, exactly. It's like you seemed like such a smart guy, Don, and now.
Well, talk about that a little bit, because that's a fascinating journey to have taken, to be yourself going through conversion and making a film about it at the same time. What was the spark that started the fire for you?
Yeah, let me. I mean, to the Catholic Church originally. It actually started for me with the Bible. I was working in a church. I've worked in ministry, Protestant ministry, for 25, 30 years now, doing a lot of preaching, doing a lot of teaching, and studying the Bible a lot. And I came to the conclusion over time that my interpretation of the text didn't quite fit with some of the beliefs that, you know, what I had grown up with and that were sort of common in my circles. But that wasn't that big of a deal to me because, you know, you can always find some sect out there that matches you, you know. And I did my best, you know, I did my best to find that. Unfortunately, what I found was I stumbled upon Patrick Reardon, for one. Is it Patrick? Father Reardon, Eastern Orthodox priest.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And some of his writings, I stumbled upon Jeff Cavins, not in the sense of conversion writings, but in Bible study, just their take on the text. Right. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is what I've been looking for.
Right.
And I thought, oh wait, these guys, this is Eastern Orthodoxy, this is Catholicism. What does that mean that they seem to be making more sense of the text than other people, you know? And that took me off into
those guys aren't supposed to know anything about the Bible, right?
Exactly. This is not good.
Well, we will be back right after this. You're listening to Connecting the Dots. I'm your host, Mark Shea. We're here today with Don Johnson, the man behind the film Convinced. And we'll be back right after this.
Redbox Media invites you to Bless the Yes. Your designated parish, school, club, or nonprofit will receive 50% of all revenue from the sponsorships. To find out more about Bless the Yes, visit redboxmedia.com.
And welcome back to Connecting the Dots. I'm your host, Mark Shea, and we are here today on this fine Thursday just before Pentecost, talking with Don Johnson. Don Johnson is the writer, director, producer of a new film called Convinced, which you can get right now if you want. You can go straight to Amazon and you can download it for a couple bucks. You can buy it. Can you rent it, or is it just for sale?
You can rent it. You can buy it. You can you know, bring it to your local theater. We try to service everyone's needs here, Mark. However you want.
Okay. All right. And anyway, Convinced is a documentary, an exploration of the lives of a bunch of different converts to the Catholic faith, interviews with them. So these are people, contemporary people alive today. So some of them you've probably heard of. Scott Hahn, for example, Jeff Cavins, Jen Fulweiler. I really liked Jen Fulweiler.
She's great.
And that's she's just like the real McCoy, you know. Leah Labresco, who I've loved Leah Labresco for years. I'm a weird person because I was like sad a little when she converted. Because she was one of the rare atheists on the internet that I liked.
Right.
You know?
I get that. She's very honest and a very clear thinker.
Oh yeah, she's just the best. I love her, and plus she's such a nerd, and it just, and I love that. I love that about her. So anyway, it's a wonderful film. It's a lovely film. I had a chance to play a part in it as well. Play a part. It sounds like it's a piece of fiction. I was one of the interviewees. You were saying before the break, oh, by the way, if you want to join the conversation, talk to Don or me, give us a call. We're at 1-573-4-BREAD-4, 1-573-4-BREAD-4. And you can also text us at that number, or you can tweet us at Breadbox Media. So, Don, you were saying before the break then, we were talking a little bit about how you wound up in this odd place of simultaneously going through a conversion yourself and also making a film about converts. So you had been a Protestant, been an evangelist for 25 years. And you're starting to think about, you're looking at Catholic and Orthodox takes at Scripture and going, these are making a lot of sense.
it was a struggle for me. And at the time, you know, you spent time in the evangelical world, Mark, you know that there's a lot of different ideas out there, and it doesn't really, I don't know, it doesn't cause a lot of concern, just to be honest, that, you know, you've got different people teaching different things. People don't think that much about it. And so as a Protestant preacher, I was just out there saying, well, here's my take. You know, here, let me walk you through the book of Exodus and let me, parallel that with the Gospels. And so this is what I think salvation is. And people, you know, people were actually eating it up to be honest. They were loving the teaching that I was giving them, but there was a few that were like, no, I don't think, you know, Don, that's not quite what we believe. And I'm like, really? I didn't even know we had an official statement. But anyway, I started digging into some of the history of my particular denomination, and that got me into the history of the Reformation. And I actually came to the point where I said, there is, I mean, if there's anything sort of official about Protestantism, like their view of salvation, if you will, I actually don't agree with it. And what does that mean? You know, if I actually, because I had been basically preaching to the people using all of these Catholic commentaries, these Eastern Orthodox commentaries on Scripture, and they were loving it. We've never heard anything like this. And I didn't tell them it was Catholic. Mm-hmm. But when I got into the history, I thought, maybe there is something, maybe I need to think more about this. At about that point, you would probably play a role in this. I started reading books like By What Authority, which is a great book by yourself. Yeah.
Well, and I remember writing that.
Started me thinking, okay, you know, if we've got all these different views, and if I'm not, maybe I'm not a Protestant, right? And the whole authority question, well, how do we know this stuff? And what did the early church look like? And started going down that path. And as you know, as Brandon Vaught says in the movie, if you don't want to start studying the church fathers if you don't want to become Catholic. Very dangerous thing to do.
Yeah, they really do not look like Nebraska Missionary Alliance people. They just don't.
They really don't.
Yeah.
This was, you know, several years ago, and I started going to Franciscan University sort of on, not necessarily on the sly, but not only did I make a Catholic movie before I became Catholic, I actually got an MA in theology from a Catholic school before I became Catholic.
Man.
Yeah.
Talk about being in the crosshairs.
Hey.
Okay.
At the end of the day, there was a point where I had to answer the question. It was going to be, you know, all right, it's time to fish or cut bait here. And I knew that people were going to want to know, what are you doing? And so I thought about writing the book, but let's be honest, Mark, people don't read that many books anymore. So I thought, you know what they do? They watch movies. Maybe I'll just make a movie about it. And so that's sort of, it was to answer the questions that I knew were coming. I made the movie. And then in the end, we actually took my part out of the movie. And just left all the rest in there, so maybe we'll make a sequel or something. But my story ended up hitting the cutting room floor.
Well, that's, you know, that's humility, isn't it? I mean, golly, you know, I mean, you're the guy making the movie. You're thinking to yourself, but my story's really good.
It wasn't in the screen test. It wasn't making people laugh or cry, such as yours, for instance. And just to put in a little plug, Mark, if people they you know, as a filmmaker, you're sitting at the back of the movie. You want people to laugh. You want them to cry. You want them to, you know, clap spontaneously. We actually got, when I've seen it, we've got all of those things, and particularly at your part. So people want to check out Mark Shea's part of Convinced. It's pretty powerful.
Well, thanks be to God. I mean, it was an amazing thing to live through. So I'll say no more so as to whet people's appetites. But it was a real gift of grace. I mean, it was just one of those things where you just go, there's at no point could I have gone to God and say, I demand that you do this?
Right.
Not possible, right? It's just, yeah, wasn't thinking in those terms. Anyway, so you're thinking about conversion, and of course you got a number of things on your mind. There's the desire to be true to what God calls you to do, but of course there's also the scary fact that I'm a Protestant evangelist, and if I do this, then my whole living just dries up and blows away, and now what? What am I going to do? You know, are you married?
I am. I'm married. Have four kids. My wife, yeah, in fact, worked and still works for the evangelical church that we were attending, and that I actually still go to with her before I go to Mass on Sundays. And so there was all these dynamics going on. My dad is a pastor, evangelical pastor. We've got this strong, evangelical tradition. I'm writing books for evangelical publishers, and I'm thinking, this is insane. This is, people are not. I was a little naive, Mark. I did think, you know what, people, I've got these relationships with people, and they see that I'm not insane, don't they? I mean, you know, they appreciate my teaching, and they've been buying my books and all of this stuff. I mean, they'll understand if I say, listen, I've been studying church history and theology for a long time now, and I've been convinced that, in fact, the claims of the Catholic Church are true. And I thought more people, maybe not everyone, but I thought more people would be like, huh, well, let me think about that with you, Don. Let's talk about that. Mm. Yeah, and not so much, actually.
Not so much, yeah.
There's a lot of, nope, I mean, I guess you're insane, Don. I guess you've gone over the edge. I guess Satan has taken over or something. I don't know.
Satan, yeah. Yeah, insane or evil.
Yeah. And so I actually delayed my conversion after talking to the guys at the Coming Home Network, for example. They're very realistic. That's a great organization. They're very open and upfront about, well, listen, yes, you got to follow the truth, but at the same time, sometimes you delay a year or whatever. So I ended up delaying, was it 1 year? I guess maybe 2 years, actually, just trying to work through it with all the people in my life. And even then, I mean, it's one of the reasons I actually cut myself out of the movie, is that I didn't want to make it about me as much because of all the personal relationships we're still trying to figure out. Man,
yeah, well,
it's tough. Yeah, it's hard.
You know, you look at what Jesus did. I mean, Jesus took 3 years with his apostles, and the early church, typically a catechumenate in the early church typically was about 3 years. We tend to do it in one, but Jesus himself says to the apostles who are on the way, you know, the apostles who are already saying things like, you are the Christ, the Son of the Blessed, and so forth, he tells those apostles to count the cost. Because it is costly. And we'll continue that conversation after this. You're listening to Connecting the Dots. I'm your host, Mark Shea. We're here today with Don Johnson, the creator of the film Convinced. And we'll be back on Connecting the Dots right after this.
Breadbox Media invites you to Bless the Yes. Your designated parish, school, club, or nonprofit will receive 50% of all revenue from the sponsorships. To find out more about Bless the Yes, visit breadboxmedia.com.
And welcome back to Connecting the Dots. Mark Shea, and we are here with Don Johnson, not the Miami Vice Don Johnson, a different Don Johnson, who has made a film called Convinced. It's a series of interviews with a bunch of different converts to the faith. Who are some of the people in the film? So we've already mentioned Jeff Case, Scott Hahn, Jen Fulweiler, me. Leah Labresco. Brandon Watt's in it. Abby Johnson is in it.
Matt Leonard, Patrick Coffin, Patrick Madrid. Not converts, those two, but reverts. Madrid I just threw in there just because, you know.
He's droll and funny. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not a clean, odor-free environment. You know, that's... That is a great description of the church. And, yeah, so anyway, it's just, it's got a bunch of people in it. It's what is it, like 20-some-odd people?
Yeah, it's over 20. I think 23, maybe? 24, yeah. Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. And anyway, so a fun film to watch, a thoughtful film to watch. And so you, while you're making this film, are interviewing people. So are you learning things from other people's conversions and going, I never even thought to ask that question before?
I learned from, I guess I should, not so much in the filmmaking process perhaps, but in the books that I read before I set out on the filmmaking process, definitely. One of the reasons I picked the people that I did to approach, and it was amazing, they just kept saying yes. You wonder why there's 23. I didn't really start out to have 23, 24 people in the movie. They just didn't say no. I would, you know, email somebody and they'd, oh, yeah, sure, come on over, let's do this. And okay. So God kept opening doors. But one of the things I was looking for originally was... It's some people who have gone all the way from complete unbelief. This is not really a polemic against anyone, particularly against Protestantism. It's really an evangelistic film for anyone who might be exploring Christianity, and in particular, obviously, I think the fulfillment of it, the one true church, Catholicism. And so we went all the way from atheists. We really start... the story with a bunch of atheists who are complete unbelievers and their journey towards Jesus and then into the church. I did learn, now this is sort of what I learned as I was interacting with atheists, and I did, you know, my ministry has been for the past decade or so primarily with atheists, agnostics, hardcore unbelievers. So I'm doing talk radio down here in SoCal for quite a while, did some up in Oregon for a while, and the goal of my show is to interact with atheists. And they did teach me a few things, I think. One of which was I had an argument against atheism up to a particular point, at which point I never admitted this, but they had me. So my strategy towards atheism was to, and is still, to ask them a lot of questions about what they believe first. We do a lot of listening. And inevitably, I ask them what they think Christianity teaches or what they think it's all about. And then I come in and say, oh, well, you know what? I don't think that's quite correct. That's not how I understand it. And so then I try to correct some of those misconceptions, break down some of the stereotypes, that sort of thing. And a lot of times what the atheist would say is, you know, Don, actually that sounds pretty good. I mean, if God was like that, I might be open to exploring that. However... However, you tell me that, but the guy down the street is going to tell me something different. And this guy over here is going to tell me something completely different from both of you. How should I know, right? Why should I believe you?
Reasonable question.
It is a reasonable question.
Yeah.
And so that sort of had me stuck. And so that sort of opened me up to that whole authority question. But then the other thing with atheists was I would try to, and I think you see this in the movie quite a bit, one of the things about atheism is that it's a very reductionistic, at least a materialistic atheist, right? Where matter is all there is. We live in a closed system of cause and effect. I mean, it's very reductionistic. You're believing the world to be a very small thing. You know, it's all physics. And part of my goal as an evangelist then is to open you up to the possibility that maybe there's more to reality than you thought, and maybe that's a good thing, right? So maybe there is a spiritual dimension, maybe there is such a thing as love and free will and all of these things, maybe your relationships aren't just a big illusion, you know. And that's sort of my strategy when talking with it. Well, I realized at at one point that my objections to Catholicism were very similar to the atheist objections to Christianity in general. And I don't know, as a Protestant, I would I would look at Catholics, not, you know, I didn't think about Catholics that much, let's be honest. But if I did, it would, but you guys believe too much about the world. You guys are sort of superstitious and you believe a lot of things that aren't true. You know, that priest is actually there in the person of Christ, you know, in persona Christi. No. We know he's just a man, you know, and that cracker and that wine, you think that that's actually the body and blood. No. We know that that's just crackers and grape juice if you're a Protestant, right? And so, but I realized, well, hold on, that's actually what atheists say to me. Oh, Don, you believe that the Bible is some sort of special book. We know that it's just another document made by man. We know there's nothing special about it. You believe there's a God. We know that religion is just a social construct. And so they had almost, you know, the same objections to Christianity that I had to Catholicism. And I realized, I thought to myself, oh, wait, you know, maybe I'm being closed-minded like those atheists are to me. And that was a big that was a big revelation for me, that I thought, oh, wait, maybe there is more to the world. Who am I to say that God couldn't make the cracker and the wine his body and blood? Is that, you know, as you like to say, under special conditions, he's God, you know, he can really controlled laboratory conditions, he could do what he wants. But I didn't really believe that. And so, yeah, I did learn a lot talking to the atheists. It was revelatory.
That's interesting. You know, one of the things I discovered when I was writing the Mary book was that the stuff that Dan Brown had to say about Jesus was the same stuff that I had to say about Mary. It's all warmed over paganism. What actual evidence did I have for that? Well, none, because I don't know anything about the early church. Well, perhaps you should find out what the early church fathers actually had to say about Mary before you tell them that they were pagans. And when you actually look at what the church fathers have to say about Mary, it's kind of the same as what they have to say concerning Jesus, in that they have zero interest in paganism. There's just nothing there. When you actually look at the fathers of the church, none of them are saying, you know, I really miss going to the Temple of Diana with my grandma when I was a kid. And now that I'm a Christian, I just need that feminine touch, you know? So instead of worshiping Diana, let's worship Mary instead. There's just none of that there, you know? And in the same way, you know, there's just zero evidence for Dan Brown's claim that, you know, until sometime in the early 4th century, nobody had ever heard of calling Jesus God, and they all just thought he was a dead rabbi with a girlfriend. And then suddenly, under Constantine, they'd say, hey, let's make him a god. There's just zero evidence for any of that claim, and tons of evidence against it. And in the same way, you find Marian devotion. It's present in the early church, and it's so taken for granted in the early church that there's not even controversies about it. It's, you just find tomb art and prayers to Mary, and nobody says boo about it. It's like, well, duh. Right? That's the attitude of the early church. So so discovering the fathers of the church can be a big education. So you made the film, did a bunch of interviews in 2014, and finished up the film. People can get the film at Amazon. Are there going to be other ways that they can get hold of it? Where could they go to get it?
Yeah, in fact, there's several ways. If you go to convincedmovie.com, they're all sort of cataloged there, right, for. So if you have a particular Catholic retailer that you like, we probably have the DVD available from them. So Ignatius Press is selling it. Catholic Answers at their online shop is selling it. St. Joseph Communication has it. There's another one that I'm not thinking of, freecatholicshipping.com, which is based just down the road here. They've got many bookstores. Yeah, so it may even be available. It's showing up in more and more Catholic bookstores even, thankfully through Ignatius for the most part, I believe. And so it's in their catalog. You can download it, like you said, at Amazon or Vimeo if you want the Vimeo feed. So yeah, it's widely available, and we've been thrilled with the feedback we've been getting. People are just they're encouraged.
Well, that's what you know. We're coming up on a break here in a minute, but when we get back, that's the next thing I want to ask you is: have you had responses to the film, and what have they been, both positive and negative? I'd be interested to hear what the feedback has been. You're listening to Connecting the Dots. I'm your host, Mark Shea. We're here with Don Johnson, the creator of the film Convinced, and we'll be back right after this.
Redbox Media invites you to Bless the Yes. Your designated parish, school, club, or nonprofit will receive 50% of all revenue from the sponsorships. To find out more about Bless the Yes, visit redboxmedia.com.
And welcome back to Connecting the Dots. I'm your host, Mark Shea, and we are here with Don Johnson, not the Miami Vice Don Johnson, but Don Johnson, the creator of the film Convinced, a film about a bunch of different converts to the Catholic faith, which you can get if you just go to Amazon and look at look for Convinced in the film section on Amazon. It's funny. I tell a story about something that happened to me as I was coming into the church. It happened to a little girl who was in a hospital bed, and I won't go into a lot of details, but basically, it was a pretty astonishing and in my opinion, miraculous gift of healing that was given to her through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And it's funny because there's a reviewer on Amazon who's like obsessed with this story. And he's like sure that, you know, I'm lying or Sherry Waddell is lying. Or the filmmaker, someone is lying. This story just can't be true. And it's like, look, I'm just telling you what happened. You
know? Right.
This is not an article of faith. It's just something that did happen. I'm telling the story the way it happened. You know, the film, you guys, of course, you can't have interviews that just go on and on. I could talk and talk all day. I'm Irish. And so you can't have like a 5-hour film while I'm just blah, blah, blah telling stories. So you do what all filmmakers have to do. You cut it down to the, you know, just the essentials of the story that happened. You cut out some details and so forth. Well, I wrote the story up elsewhere in my book, Mary, Mother of the Son, and it's shown up in a couple of articles that are online. So this guy like went out and he pored over other things that I had written relating the same incident. And you know the people that like pore over the Gospels saying, you know, well, it says here that Jesus was entering Jericho when he met, you know, the right. blind beggar. And in this account, it says that he was leaving and they don't give the name of the beggar. We can't trust any of this, you know.
Right.
And it's like, lighten up, man. You know?
That's actually a great lesson. I have not checked that. I saw that whenever, a long time ago, actually, Mark, the guy who had, and so I'll have to go back and recheck some of those reviews, but I largely ignore them. But that's actually a pretty good lesson about biblical interpretation, isn't it? You got to look at context. And even, you know, a documentary. All right, this guy's interviewing 24 people. He's got an 85-minute film. He's got 45 minutes of footage on each of them, at least. Some of them are cut down to 25 seconds, you know, like we've got very little. And I thought, I think we're faithful to all of them, but you know,
I think you did a fantastic job.
Yeah. If we're looking at a documentary, there actually was a line, now that I think about it, I think there was a line where you said in the interview, other people were praying too. And I think if I remember correctly, this guy said, well, in the movie, it sounded like just Sherry and Mark were praying. Well, I mean, I can actually
see. What difference does it make? You know?
Yeah. I can actually see that. Yeah, maybe. But that doesn't mean that other people weren't praying.
Right.
Or that in fact, in the full interview that you didn't mention that, but it wasn't, I didn't put it in, whatever.
Not so important. Well, you know, it's like when I read the gospel and I read the sort of bizarre hypercriticism of things in the gospels, you know,
right.
That's the kind of thing that always strikes me is, you know, the gospels, there are, for example, no two of the institution of the four institution narratives of the Eucharist in the gospel and in the first letter of Paul to the Corinthians, the verbiage doesn't match up identically.
Right.
So, you know, this is my body broken for you. This bread is my body broken for you, you know, and so on and so forth. And it's like people get exercised about these kinds of things. And it's like, lighten up. We're talking about an oral tradition culture that's getting across the gist of what was spoken.
Right.
And that's the point here. You know, we're not talking about people running around as you were with a video camera, you know, getting things verbatim. And so it cracks me up when things like that happen. There's an Onion article. The Onion is an online satire magazine, and among other things, it released a book a few years ago called Our Dumb Century. And it was all just front page newspaper headlines from the supposed print version of The Onion that it was supposedly in existence for the last century before it became an online webzine. And the front page article for The Onion on November 22nd, 1963 is JFK shot 167 times by CIA, Cubans, you know, aliens, and you know, all these other conspiracies. And people will sometimes look at this and say, because there's disagreement among witnesses, this is what we constantly hear about gospel criticism, because there's disagreement in different accounts, that means nothing ever happened and Jesus didn't even exist. And the obvious thing to do, of course, is if hundreds or thousands, or in the case of Christianity, millions of people bear witness to something being there, the odds are far better that there's something there than that there's nothing there.
Yeah.
So anyway, so people can, I guess what I want to conclude with is, what's next? What plans you got coming up next?
Well, that's a good question, Mark. I'm one of those guys with about 10 projects on the list, and we sort of see what doors open up, which ones get funding, what God would have for us. But we have a TV series in the works that's sort of along the same feel as Convinced. I've got some online educational resources that we are promoting. I know that something that I learned talking with all of these converts and also cradle Catholics that were not catechized well. And this is getting a lot better in the church, but we are in desperate need of apologetics resources and teaching materials for our parishes. So I'm working on some of that. And, you know, I'm just trying to get out there and tell people about Jesus. Sherry Waddell's, you know, you mentioned her earlier. Mm-hmm. I'm sort of a lot of times piggybacking on a lot of her work with forming intentional disciples.
I was going to tell you that.
We really are. Father Jerome is my pastor here at our local parish in Huntington Beach. And
wait,
he actually,
Father Jerome, a Dominican Jerome?
Father Jerome Karcher, I don't know.
No, a different Jerome. Okay.
He actually talked with Sherry when she was down here, got all excited about forming intentional disciples. We've been doing the Alpha course for the last two quarters now at our parish. And, there's just a lot of great stuff happening. And so I'm trying to just, piggyback on a lot of that stuff. Because what I found is when people come out of the theater after seeing the movie, or they contact me after, downloading it or getting the DVD or whatever, two things that I find pretty consistently. One, if they're a Catholic and they come out of the movie, it's like they're standing a little bit taller. They're a little bit more, not necessarily proud, I don't think that's the right word, but they're confident about their Catholicism. I don't sort of need to hang my head and be in the corner. Look at all of these people that it costs so much, yet they wanted to enter into this church. And so it's something that we can be happy about. And they see it, the movie, as a tool now that they can use to offer to their unbelieving friends, whether that's atheists, agnostics, maybe their Protestant friends who are unsure why anyone would become Catholic. I hope you got this sense the other night. Every time I've seen it with a group, I have yet to have, and I've sat with an atheist and watched it, I have yet to have somebody come out angry. It's not that kind of story, right? It's very, I feel like it's just gentle, It's like it's a movie. It's just a story. It's all about the story. It's not a preachy thing, and so people feel pretty confident. They feel pretty comfortable saying, "Hey, just check this out." It's mm-hmm. You're not going to come out of it feeling like you've been hit on the head with a Bible or something. It's apolitical and none of that. It's not a sort of the cultural stuff. It's about Jesus. And so, I'm hoping to sort of just piggyback on a lot of that stuff that, like Sherry does, really.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to say, your film very much looks at conversion the way Sherry does. Sherry talks about threshold events. So you begin by building a bridge of trust. Curiosity begins in people. They become open to the possibility of change. And then move on to spiritual seeking. She describes it as sort of dating with a purpose. Is Jesus really someone I can commit my life to? And then finally, intentional discipleship, really choosing to become a Jesus. And that's an experience that's both intensely personal, but it's also, of course, it's ecclesial. It's something that happens in union with the church. That's what we're supposed to be about. You've done a fine thing with making this film, and I want to thank you for doing it. Don Johnson, thank you so much for being my guest today. You've been listening to Connecting the Dots. I'm your host, Mark Shea. Our producer was Ethan Bolin. And we'll be back tomorrow with Mr. Tom McDonald. Till then, bye-bye.